Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Glad you're tuning in, whether it's Christmas morning or some other point when you're watching this stream. A lot of thanks to Jake and the team for providing some great Christmas music. We'll be considering the wonderful story of the miracle of Christmas together this morning just for a few minutes. I've mentioned many times in the past that my father-in-law, Kathy's dad, was an expert auto mechanic. And he was always very willing to give me advice when it came to the care of the vehicles at our home, but he only gave that advice when he was asked. He never butted in with a comment about the condition of his daughter's car, and I'm grateful for that. He never asked, "Dave, what were you thinking when I botched a do-it-yourself repair job?" That would have been meddling. And God bless him, my father-in-law never meddled. Or on another note, I don't know about you, but I would never approach my neighbor's door and just walk in without knocking and without being invited in. That would actually be unneighborly, be just plain rude. I would never just walk into my neighbor's house, just barge in, unless I saw flames shooting out from his window and I happened to know that he was asleep at the time. In that case, I would absolutely barge in and get into the house by whatever means to wake him up. So in the one case, entering without permission is rude. In the other case, it's an act of love. Depending on the way the action is taken and why the action is taken, outside involvement will be characterized as intervention or meddling. We'll look at it as rescuing or interfering. And there have always been people who have believed that God is not an intervening God, that he's kind of hands off when it comes to his creation. And we call that mindset deism, and we call people who believe that deists. Deists believe that God is very hands off. He got things rolling at creation, and then he decided to not interfere with events in the world he created. That mindset is actually very, very apparent and very prevalent in our world today. Lots of people who would view God that way believe that God simply doesn't get involved. And there are lots of messes in our world in just about every arena you could think of. And you would think that if God was getting involved, things would be better, and they're not, so God must be a non-interventionist kind of God. Now, to get a little bit more personal and a little bit honest on this Christmas day, I wonder if how many of us, even if we might not say it out loud, wonder about God's interventions. We hope and we pray and we wish for certain things to happen and for God to intervene. And quite often, what we hope and pray for doesn't happen. And there is not the intervention we desire. It's happened to me a lot, probably happened to you. And those kinds of experiences can prompt us to take sort of a non-interventionist or to take a view toward God that he is a non-intervening God. And if we're tempted to deism, we run straight into the record of the Bible that presents him start to finish as an extremely meddlesome God. You see that in Bible story after Bible story. And I'm thinking of the Old Testament right now, but I'm thinking of stories like the parting of the Red Sea. A very obvious get involved kind of action where he provided for the Israelites to walk through on dry ground and escape the Egyptians. Or when he provided manna for 40 straight years while they wandered in the wilderness. Or stopped the flow of the Jordan River so that the people could cross into the promised land. And on we could go with these stories. All of these stories make the case that history really is his story. But there's no season in biblical history that is as rich with proof of God's intervening ways as the season surrounding Jesus' birth. And just to highlight a few of these interventions, there were appearances by angels. The first one we read about is in the Gospel of Luke. the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, an elderly couple who had wanted children and they never had children. And as we enter their story, Elizabeth is past the age of childbearing, so there's not even any hope for children. And then Zechariah has service in the temple. He is offering sacrifice to God. And while he's offering sacrifice, the angel Gabriel shows up. And Gabriel has a message for Zechariah and says, God has heard your prayers. You are going to have a son by Elizabeth, and he's going to be great, and you're going to call his name John. And it's fantastic news. Finally, what they've been hoping for their entire married life is going to come to pass, and they're going to have a kid. So Zechariah asks a question of Gabriel, how can I know this is going to happen for sure? And you remember when you were younger, or if you're in school now, you may have heard, the only question, the only bad question is the question you don't ask. Actually, that's not true. John has asked here a very bad question. And Gabriel rebuked John or Zechariah for his faithlessness and made it so that he wasn't able to talk until the boy was born. But sure enough, Elizabeth had a baby. They named him John, and it's like three miracles in one. There was an angelic appearance. There was a miracle of silence, and then a baby born to a geriatric couple. God intervened. God meddled in this. And we keep on reading through the stories surrounding the birth of Jesus, and we come to angelic appearance. After angelic appearance, there's the appearance of the angel Gabriel to Mary. She's just a young lady who's living in Nazareth, minding her own business, engaged to be married. And Gabriel shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. And Mary asks a very understandable question. How exactly is this going to happen since I've never been with a man? And Gabriel very patiently answers her question. He says, this is going to be the doing of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And then true to his word, the Virgin Mary did give birth to Jesus. It's the height of intervention. God got intimately involved. And then again, on the night of his birth, more angels to shepherds who were out in their fields, watching over their flocks by night. And an angel appeared, and they were terribly frightened, the shepherds were. And the angel said, don't be afraid, and there's great news of great joy, because there's a baby born in Bethlehem today, and he's Christ the Lord. And then there was a whole army of angels who were singing and shouting, glory to God in the highest. Another intervention. And then God broke in also by dreams. The whole season surrounding the birth of Jesus, there are special dreams to people. Like when Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant, he was ready to cut off the engagement. And we can understand that. He thought she had been unfaithful. And then God very graciously gave to Joseph a dream, which told him that Mary was telling him the truth. And then magi from the east, wise men, had come and they had worshipped the baby Jesus and they'd given him their gifts. And they were about to go back to Herod in Jerusalem to report what had happened when an angel appeared to them in a dream and told them, don't go back to Herod. Instead, go back to your homeland by another route. And they did. And then Joseph got another dream. An angel appeared to him and told him, take Mary and take the child and get to Egypt as fast as you can because Herod wants to kill the child. The whole Bethlehem experience was one grand orchestrated intervention, one after the other. So many interventions by God. It was so hands-on that in every way, every year at Christmas, it's like God shouting, deism is dead. And the great news is God is alive. He is an intervening God. He meddles. So today we are worshiping God because of the ways in which he intervened in the Christmas story 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. But we're also saying that this is actually the way God has always been. He has always been an intervening God. Every period of biblical history you think of, and throughout all of history, God has always been involved in the world he created. And Christmas just kind of helps us understand God even better and his intervening ways. He breaks into history. He does the things only he can do. And I want to wrap up our time this morning by just highlighting three ways in which God promises that he will intervene in your life and in mine. In the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says in chapter 11, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." God will intervene in your life in some way to reward you for your trust in him. God notices when we trust. Now, certainly that has application to after this life is over, and I know that. But I believe it has great application to today as well, to the life we're living right now. And who knows how God may reward it, maybe by a greater appreciation of his presence in our lives, maybe greater sensitivity to the Spirit's leading, maybe more opportunities to trust him in greater and greater ways. But God will move in your life in that way. Or Romans chapter 8. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That sounds pretty hands-on-ish to me. What the Apostle Paul is saying by those words is that God can take, and he will take, anything that comes into your life, and he will use it redemptively, and he will bring out of that something good for you, something powerful, something beautiful. That's what our intervening God will do. Or these words from James. James wrote these words to Christians just like us. He says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Now, God doesn't always answer prayers the way we pray them. He doesn't always give us an automatic yes. God is not manipulable. But God does respond to our prayers. And God does do things in response to our prayers that he would not have done had we not prayed. Scripture gives us a picture of God actively involved in the world. He's not a sideline sitting God. He doesn't sit on his hands waiting for the world he made and to kind of wind down. No, he is actively rewarding us, transforming us, answering our prayers. So let's open our eyes and notice where we see God at work. And give him praise and thanksgiving for it, and let's join him where we see him. Let's open our ears and listen to the stories that we have to tell each other about how God is at work so that he gets maximum praise as we give him thanks for that too. He is our gloriously meddlesome God, and we praise him and we thank him on this Christmas day. Merry Christmas to you. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for the miracle that happened when Jesus was born and for the gifts that you give through Jesus of peace and joy and love and hope and life. And we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you, and again, Merry Christmas.